Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Well, Sangram texted me and said that I could use this one, better than I deserve.
I'm doing better than I deserve. You can use that once.
Yeah.
That's great. It's just you and me today.
That's right.
Here we are, which is great. It's good to see you. You've been out sick and been busy doing some important stuff. And so here we are. And what are we going to talk about today, Cody?
We are going to talk about when it's time to leave a job.
That's right. And whether this is you applying this to yourself or a loved one or a friend, there are some good criteria that we have to be thinking about when we need to think about moving on from a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that so often people look back and say, I wish I had done that sooner. But if we don't have a criteria and we don't know what is a good reason to leave a job versus a not so good reason, it's hard to know when to pull the trigger, so to speak. And so I guess you're not supposed to say pull the trigger anymore, but that's not meant in a violent way. And so Cody, we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about throughout our career what we've learned and what we're learning from other people today as well.
This is fun to talk about in the sense that what we try to do, it's predicated on the idea that we're meant to be fulfilled at work.
Like
that work is meant to be fulfilling and that we're all supposed to contribute in unique ways. And one of the conversations that I dread having the most is talking to friends or colleagues or people in my life who aren't happy at their jobs. And you know that they're skilled and that they're wonderful people. And it's like, man, I wish that everyone had that opportunity. And you're totally right that for too many people, we don't know when is the right time to sort of jump ship and try something new. And there's so many reasons that we justify it. So we thought it would be a really good topic to say, hey, what are some of the things we should be looking for? Because now is better than a year from now, or God forbid, 10 years from now.
That's right. And let's anticipate two objections first. One, we're not saying a job is supposed to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for general fulfillment and engagement. Second, we're not saying that people don't need to pay their bills,
mm-hmm.
because we realize the reality of having to make financial commitments. And so we're not here like, oh, just go out and, you know, every kid, I want to be a video game designer, which just means I want to play video games all day long. We're talking about, in reality, there's a time to say, maybe it's time to move on. And so there's three criteria we want to talk about today. The first one is when it's just not a cultural fit.
Yep.
And that there's two kinds of ways to look at that. The values of the company, whether they're stated or otherwise, it's like, there's not an alignment here. And the people. And that's how those values come about. But even if the company hasn't stated what those values are, like, I don't understand these people. I have nothing in common with them. I work for a different reason. I just feel out of place here.
Mm-hmm.
And the one example I have is I left a job once at a pretty big company. And here's what finally happened to me. So I was working there, and no company has perfect values. And there's a diversity of values depending on what department you work in and things like that. The best ones have really clear values. But I was working at this company, and the head of HR came to me, and there were like 5,000 employees, and I was fairly junior, and said, I want you to spy on your boss. And I was like, am I being punked here? Or like, am I on some TV show? And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, we don't think he's doing the right thing, and we want you to come tell us what he's doing. And I said, well, I'm not going to spy on my boss. I mean, your boss, the CEO, should talk to him, because he was a senior vice president, my boss was. And he goes, and I said, I'm going to go tell my boss that you asked me to, because you guys have to wait. He goes, no, don't do that. I said, oh, I'm going to. So I went to my boss, who was like the second or third most influential person in this company. And I said, they just asked me to spy on you. And I thought the guy was going to go, well, let's march right over there and say, this is wrong. And he goes, yeah, that's how things work around here.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember that day going, I'm getting out of here.
Of course. That's crazy. And an obvious sign for you to say, this isn't the place I belong.
Exactly. I dusted off my resume and started making calls that day.
Mm.
Now, I didn't walk away and say, I'm quitting. I mean, sometimes you have to do that if it's totally egregious, but I was like, okay, I'm going to keep working here and figure out a way to jump ship. If the values of a firm are so in violation of who you are, you do not belong there.
Yeah, I remember it was a couple months ago we did a podcast on not having work friends. And part of what came out in that podcast is sort of like, because companies have cultures that we want to try to attract people that have similar values and interests and that sort of thing, like, it makes sense that you should find one that you fit into. This is sort of like a club. Like, it's a club that you get paid to be a part of. And you don't want to be in one of those scenarios where someone's asking you to do something. And even if let's say that that spying culture, which is like a totally egregious one, but even if it's just different, not necessarily in a vacuum bad, you know, but it's different and you have to feel like you go in every day being someone you're not, that is not a recipe for being fulfilled at your work. You just feel like you walk in the door and you're looking at a group of strangers that you don't know how to connect with. That can't be a fun experience.
Right. I mean, it might be I work at a company when everybody's really motivated by making money. And there are companies like that. And it's like, and that's just not important to me. Mm-hmm. Well, every day you're going to go into the break room. People are going to talk about, oh, my bonus is this, or I close this one deal. And you're going to be like, oh, I just want to keep my customers happy. If the company doesn't value what you value, it's going to be a long road to hoe, as they say.
Right. And it's not demonizing any of those things.
Like,
I remember a good friend of mine worked at a company where they did just that. They would go out and openly celebrate big deals that they closed in this tech sales company. And for whatever reason, I enjoyed going with him to celebrate his success, but the vibe there was not one that I fit that well into because I didn't, you know, it was fun to be with friends, but I didn't need to talk about how we were exceeding our goals and who's the highest salesman and what numbers could we hit. That's just not part of who I am.
Exactly. I mean, and think about great companies are not for everybody. I mean, like a company like Southwest Airlines, which is harder to get into than Harvard, they say, as an employee. Well, if you don't like being silly, like having a fun sense of humor, and you don't love jumping through hoops for your customers, not everybody does, you should not be there.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means find a place that fits you. Find other people who have common interests.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of the fact that there are so many companies out there with unique cultures because somebody else is going to love that place. You know,
exactly.
There, you talk about sort of the competition culture at one of the places that you worked at. Some people thrive on that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That really helps them in their job.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly. And so you should just know whether or not this is a cultural fit, values or people or otherwise. That's one sign.
So that's a kind of a macro way to look at it. On a more micro way or individual way is, are you able to use your gifts at that company?
Mm-hmm.
And this gets into like the working genius. Like I have certain things that I'm really good at and I love doing. Do I have an opportunity to do that here?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get enamored, like, I want to work at this company because I like what they do or their mission. But the things I'm good at, they don't need. That's not a good reason. You should never stay in that job.
I think this is the one that pains me most personally. When I look at friends or relatives or whoever that are in positions or in roles where they're not being tapped into and utilized, I get genuinely sad for them because I know what it's like to be in a position where all the things that you're bringing to the table or that you think you're bringing to the table are being dismissed or undervalued. And almost more than the first one, like I would rather you be in a position where your gifts are fully utilized and that you feel like you're getting fulfillment from those things. And maybe in a culture that doesn't quite fit you, then the opposite, you know?
Right. If you're not able to use your gifts, that job is not going to be
it. Soul crushing.
It really is. And I just thought of something, Cody, my first job out of college. I took a job at a company that was a management consulting firm. Management, which I thought about people, managing people, like coaching others, and consulting, like giving people advice, that was perfect for me. The job had nothing to do with either of those things. And I didn't even know that. And after 2 years of doing that, I was like, this is soul crushing. And so that was a good reason to leave.
Well, it's so interesting because this is not just about bad companies that don't tap into people's.
No.
It's in some ways, there are people who are wandering around wondering like, what is it that I'm good at? And what should they be tapping into? I used this story with you that I did, and I've told this story before. I worked at a startup company prior to this. I'm a discerner galvanizer in the working genius model. I wanted to help figure out what ideas were best for us and then go out and get people
rallied around. Get them excited.
And I didn't get to use that. And I didn't know why that was frustrating at the time, but I had a job that a lot of people would love to have and I didn't enjoy it. And then, so that was one that was kind of obvious for me, the writing on the wall.
Well, and think about it, because people would say, but that was a startup in fashion and they were making money. You know how many kids are coming out of college? I would love to work at a startup in some new fashion making money. It's like, would you do that if you had to do this job every day that you didn't like doing?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that you said that because I remember my interview there and by the time there were three people there, so it's not like there were that many, but they asked me, are you into fashion? And I was like, no, not really. I just want to work with good people, you know? And it proved out over time that culture also didn't fit me very well, because people did care about the way that they appeared more than I did. Like, I only wore the clothes that we made because I was like, I guess these are fashionable. You know, like,
That's so funny. Because when you came from there and you wore those clothes, I used to think, well, Cody must really love this stuff. Now no. I'm finding no, you have five shirts.
Right, exactly. I have five shirts. I don't want to make that decision every day. But I say that because, so that company, it seemed rather obvious to me after a little while, like, oh, okay, I should probably leave this job. But then I started working here. This is where I think it gets kind of interesting around, are you able to use your gifts? There was a season here, even at the table.
This was like only a couple, 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago, where I started to have conversations with my wife. Like, I wonder if I should start looking somewhere else. Not, I loved it here. I love the people here. But there was this season where I was like, I don't think I'm being utilized very well at a place where we tend to utilize people really well.
Right.
And at the time, I think it was twofold. It was one, I wasn't totally clear on what my gifts were. So that's a testament too. If you're out there and you're like, I don't feel like I'm being utilized, but I don't know how to tell people, you should use the Working Genius. That's a great way to figure out
for $25 in 20 minutes, you're going to figure this out.
And that was a very natural commercial that we didn't even intend to do. But so you should know what those are. If you don't know what those are, it's hard to wander around your work life and go like, oh, why do I feel unfulfilled here? And then the second thing was that, so I didn't know what they were. And because I didn't know, you guys didn't know. And so we were trying to like put me on different projects and things. And I started to have those initial conversations around, hey, babe, should I look somewhere else? And now fast forward 3 years, I'm so grateful I didn't, because I'm now in a place where I'm being utilized more than I ever have from my areas of strength.
I can't believe we didn't get that, but we were thinking about job descriptions rather than talents and genius.
Yeah. And it totally transformed not just my role here and my influence, but like my level of enjoyment and satisfaction. And now I had the culture, the people that I loved, and the second criteria, which is the fact that I get to use my areas of giftings. And that just totally changed the trajectory for me.
You know, I was talking to a CEO the other day, Cody, who had an employee who he cares about a lot, who was a misfit for the job, and he just didn't fit it. And so he's trying to find another job for him in the organization that would fit his skills, but they might not have it. And what I said was, and they want to honor this guy, and he's going through some tough things right now. And so, and I love grace and mercy in those moments. But I said, if it comes down to it at the end that you just don't have something that meets his skills, keeping him is not going to help him.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be better to give him a really good severance so he could take care of his family during a difficult time than to keep him in a job where he's going to continue to fail.
Yep.
And so if you're that person and you're like, nothing at this company suits what I'm really good at, please start looking for something else.
Well, I would say before you get to that, at least go to your manager, take a run just go, hey, listen, I got to tell you, I'm not totally fulfilled. That's not necessarily your fault. I want to come to the table and say, here's what really gets me energized.
Yeah, make sure there's really not a use for you there. Like, because you had a friend who did that. He was getting a bad performance review.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, here's my Working Genius. I think this is probably why my performance review isn't that good, but you need this. I could do that.
Yeah.
And they said, we're giving you a raise and we're going to hire somebody else to do the stuff you don't like. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So he went from thinking he was on his way out to actually having a better job.
And just because he went to the table and said, here's what I'm really good at and here's what I'm really bad at.
Right.
And the things that you're asking of me kind of fall into this what I'm bad at category. Now I know that I can tap into these other people, you know? So that conversation is well worth it before you start dusting off your resume to say like, let's storm the castle. Let's have this conversation. Let's lay it all on the table and say, I really want to be fulfilled. I want to be utilized. Can we get there? If not, I might need to start looking.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's people in pro football who are like, I was a quarterback before, but I guess you guys don't need me and I'm not as good at that. I could try running back. There's some really good running backs.
Yeah.
And there's also a receiver for the Packers years ago who's now a running back.
Mm.
And I know this because he still wears like number 89.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like, yeah, I'm not a great receiver, but I'm a pretty darn good running back. So people can actually find new uses for their skills and enjoy it. But you got to step up and say, okay, you can cut me, but what about if I use these skills?
Yep.
So we have to take the time and the risk to do that.
Absolutely.
So the last one is if you're in a job and you have no good reason to stay other than inertia. And there's just so many people we know, it's like, yeah, changing would probably be a pain. I'm just going to keep going. Now, inertia is not because I need the money to pay for my mortgage.
Right.
But too many people think, well, that's enough to stay when there's other things you could do to pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people I know that are stuck in that job and they think, gosh, change just seems too hard. And it's so worth it. Because if there's a way you could make money doing something else, even if there's going to be a bridge time in that, by the time you get to the other side of that bridge, you're going to be so glad you did it.
Absolutely.
And if you can really think of no compelling reasons, like, yeah, I'm using my talents and I love the culture and I'm making a difference and all these other things. If there's nothing going on like that, it's probably time to think about doing this. And that doesn't mean you have to leave right away. You know, start looking from the safety of where you're sitting right now,
yep.
But do not put it off and think I'm too old or I have a skill set that only fits this one job. I talked to a guy today who said he was an accountant for 20 years and he has no tenacity in him. No, he doesn't like details and pushing. He goes, I was miserable. He goes, until one day I realized I could coach other people in my profession. And I love that. So he had invested 20 years in one profession and very quickly made a change, and he is on top of the world now. So it's never too late to do that. It really isn't.
I think that sort of like falls into the devil we know category. Like we're more comfortable saying, even though I'm not fulfilled or even though I'm not using my areas of talent and this group doesn't necessarily fit me, at least I know what it is. And it's a scary thought to say, what else is out there? I think a lot of times we operate in this idea that, well, I don't believe that there is a job out there that could fulfill me, or that like, I think that's part of the message of this entire 100+ podcast we've done is like, there is, and work is meant to be fulfilling. And you've said on a couple of times, I love this, where you say, I'd rather be a coach trainer at a garbage company than an accountant at Disney.
Right.
And there are jobs where you can change industry, change job title, whatever it is, and be more fulfilled. And when your driver is, man, this is just what I've done for 20 years, it's too hard to get out now.
Yeah.
I find so many sad stories that wind up at the point of retirement or burnout or worse.
Yeah.
Where people go, man, I just spent a good majority of my life and 8 hours of my waking day at a place that didn't utilize me and at a place that I didn't feel totally known. And that was just excruciating.
Now we need to throw a bone to accountants here. Both of those stories are about some people love accounting. That's just not my thing.
Yes, of course.
So and some people love that, and it provides what they need in their job. That's awesome. It's whatever it is that you need. But you're right. You know, my dad, God rest his soul, he didn't go to college, and he had the same job for 40 years. And I think that during that time, there were other things. He was pretty good at what he did, but the company was very dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And I think if he'd said, "Gee, what would be fun?" There were actually things that he would have found fun, that there were jobs in those fields, but he kind of came from a background that just said, hey, dude, you've got limited options. And back then it was a little different.
Yep.
Today, nobody cares if you went to college, where you went to college. They just want to know you can make a difference. And so I think this is actually a good time to be thinking in these ways.
Yeah. I think that this message is really important because I do think there was a whole generation before us where none of these criteria seemed to matter. It was, hey, you can pay your mortgage. It doesn't matter if you fit there, and it doesn't matter if you're being utilized. You should just collect your checks and your health insurance. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that people realize that there's more to work than it being a four-letter word. It's not drudgery. There are companies and roles out there and opportunities that if you can just in a moment of clarity and certainty say, I'm going to start dusting off that resume.
Right.
I think there's opportunities.
And so if you're listening to this, you might be the person who needs this, and go get a friend to help you and to encourage you. But you might be listening to this saying, I have a brother-in-law or a sister or a friend or a spouse who's in this situation. Be their hero and help them put together a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, the more people that are working in jobs that are fulfilled and the less people that are working in jobs where they feel stuck, the better society is. And you can do something heroic for somebody by sharing this with them.
Yeah. I will say one other thing. It goes back to like one other podcast we did, the Plant Your Tree podcast. And it's that proverb of when's the best time to plant a tree? 10,000 years ago or 100 years ago. I don't forget what it actually is. And today, the first best time is 100 years ago, and the second best time is today. Just don't wait, because waiting on something like this is just, can be excruciating and soul crushing for people.
Absolutely. You know, Cody, I want to do a commercial, and it's going to be a strange one. I just thought about it. It's for black licorice. Okay. Now, you know, when I was a kid,
I can't advocate this.
You can't
commercial.
Do this. No, we're going to have to disagree. When I was a kid, I hated it. My dad would always eat the black jelly beans out of the thing because we didn't like licorice. But as I get older, I'm finding black licorice to be particularly tasty.
Well, I do not endorse this, and I will give an alternate commercial for red licorice,
which is not licorice at all.
That's right.
But we can agree. Let's come together. Licorice.
There
embrace
we go.
It. It's good.
There
have
we
it
go.
In your office.
That's
all
perfect.
Right. Thanks for joining us today. Help somebody with their job or yourself. We hope you found this useful, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.